If we left off last week, we were talking a little bit about the mitzvah derabanan of Kiddush, the mitzvah deraisa that we spoke a lot about, a little bit about the mitzvah derabanan of Kiddush alayayin. So we spoke about what constitutes yayin, and one has to have a kos of a reviyas, and one has to drink ma'ilugma of the kos. One need not drink the entire kos, one need not even drink over the kos. And Leil HaSeder, some Rishonim holds a special chumrah for a different reason. You may have to drink rova kos. That's why the post can point out that the Seder, you shouldn't have such a tremendous kos. It is, you know, get drunk by the time Magid starts. But when it comes to regular fire, you have to that Kiddush, then nobody holds you have to drink rova kos. So if you drink rova revias, which is a ma'aleh, that would be sufficient. There's a machlekes Rishonim that whether one person has to drink it or whether you can start it for a lot of people together. A lot of people are not so careful about this. The person makes kiddush, they take a little sip, and then gives a little to his wife, a little bit to the kids, and then chareik chosakol, they end up my lugma. So the chachila, that's not really right. But the other, we rely on the Rishonim who are making on that, but the chachila, one person should drink it, and preferably that one person should be the Mekadosh himself. In addition to the mitzvah of kiddush on Friday night, which is the Ikaron, the mitzvah of the Arayis, even though Yain is on the mitzvah of Rabbanan, the Gemara tells us, in the 10th parak was Eretz Pesachim, there's a mitzvah to recite Kiddush in the daytime as well. The Gemara actually derives from a pasuk, Zochas Shem Shabbos, the Kachar Yom comes, the Rabbos Kiddush HaYom. But the Rishonim are quick to point out that it's probably only a mitzvah midirabbanan. What led the Rishonim to believe that it's not really a mitzvah deraisa? Because there's no real text to it. The Gemara says all you have to say is a bar priya gofen. That's why they called it a Kiddush Rabba. It shouldn't feel insulted. It's really a Kiddush Zut, it's really a nothing. It's just a bar priya gofen midirabban v'yalma. But they call it Kiddush Rabba to make it feel a little bit better. So since there's no real text to it, clearly it's not a real mitzvah min ha-tayr. It's only a mitzvah min ha-rabbanan. You might have to recite Kiddush by day as well. So there are a few possible differences between the Kiddush of Friday night, which is rooted in deraisa, and the Kiddush in the daytime, which is only min ha-rabbanan. So one possible difference would be in regard to women. It's not 100% clear whether women are chayavos in Kiddush in the daytime, because the source that women are chayavos in Kiddush in Friday night, even though it's a Zman Grama, but this is the exception to the rule. The Shema V'Zochar, even though in the Chumash they don't appear in the same place, but since we have a Messiah that they were uttered by Kaddish Baruch at the same time, they take on the status like a Hekish, as if they're in the same Pasuk. Even though they're not really in the same Pasuk, it's as if they're in the same Pasuk. And therefore we have a right, the Midrash and the Drash, to derive halachas one from another. Whoever is obligated in Shmir is obligated in Zechir, and the Shmir puts the first in the Malachas. So the Rishonim raised the question, does that carry over to Kiddush in the daytime? So one can argue that the Medvar Mamurim is a drasha, Shom of the Zohar, the Berech Nemo, that's the government mitzvah deraisa, which you include in Zohar. If Kiddush in the day is at most a mitzvah deraban, it's not really Zohar, then women should not be included. And then we should fall back on the regular rules of Zman Grama, and the regular rules of Zman Grama dictate that women are pterus, even though it's only a mitzvah derabanan. So the Taisus points out, in the third back of Brachas, that's clear from the Gemara that Nashi Pturos from Mitzvah Shis as Ran Grama, even Mitzvah Sderabonim, called the Tikkun Rabonim, came there, I said Tikkun. So that's the view of the Baram Chalav on the end of Masechas Pesachim, that how women don't have to make Kiddush in the daytime on Shabbos. And I think most possibly disagree with that. Generally, the assumption in the Shulchan Aruch is not that way, that women do have to recite Kiddush in the daytime as well. Why? What's the Roman Baram Chalav is Svara? So the stomach called the Tikkun Rabbanan Kei Deraisa Tikkun. They were Masak and Kiddush by day, Kain the Kiddush by night. Even though it's not really Zohar, but it's on a level of the Rabbanan, it's included part of the Zohar, therefore they were Machayev women in Kiddush and day. That's how we pass in Havoch. There is another possible difference between Kiddush at night and Kiddush in the daytime. The Gemara says in the end of Maseches Pesachim that one is not allowed to eat before reciting Kiddush on Friday night. Even if one started the meal beforehand, once it comes time to say Kiddush, so you have to stop, you have to make Kiddush. Many people are familiarizing themselves with that halacha. That's what appears at the beginning of the 10th Parak Pesach, called Peres Mapa Makadosh, the famous sugya in the beginning of Arab Pesachim, about if a person started the meal yom, and then it comes time to Shabbos begins, so are you allowed to continue the meal? So you are allowed to continue the meal as long as you make Kiddush first. So you stop what you're doing, you stop in the middle, and you cover up the challah, and you make Kiddush, and then you uncover the challah, and you continue to eat. That's what's called Peres Mapa Makadosh. So for most normal people, that's a nice sugya in Arab Pesachim, but nobody would ever dream of doing it. The only time this ever comes up is when Purim falls out on a Friday. But for us, it's very rare, and Yerushalayim is a little bit more common. So that's a shaila whether we should go down that route of Paras Ba'af and Makadosh. First, we want to have a Purim Suda, so can you invoke this sugya of Paras Ba'af and Makadosh? So apparently in Yerushalayim, the many who have that practice, Shlomo Zalman apparently had that practice, There are some who follow that view that you do Purim Korban Mekadesh. The Ramon doesn't quote that. The Ramon who Purim quotes when you have Purim on a Friday like this, yes, you should make the suda in the morning. You shouldn't make the suda late in the afternoon. It shouldn't take away, it shouldn't detract from the Shabbos meal. The Ramon doesn't mention Purim Korban Mekadesh. Apparently, the Ramon's of the opinion the Purim Korban Mekadesh is not a lechachila. I mean, if a guy, for whatever reason, is having a meal, so then this is the best eitz of a lechachila, set up yourself up. But Purim Korban Mekadesh is not right. So again, some Gedali Yalim follow the minig of Shomzal, the minig of Yishalayim, and the two parts of Kaddish next Friday. And probably most of us don't do it. Most of us do the other option, you have the Suda earlier. But everyone agrees once the Zman of Kiddush comes, you're not permitted to eat, you're not permitted to drink. So that did, you're not allowed to eat or drink before Kiddush. Does that apply to Kiddush in the morning as well? So that was also Machlek Yisr Rishonim. So the Rambam says, yes, the Rambam writes that even though Kiddush in the daytime is only with the Rabbanon, they're misafir with all the chumras of Kiddush at night, and you're not permitted to eat a drink before Kiddush in the daytime either. When we say eat a drink, so that applies even to drinking water. I'm not allowed to drink water before one recites Kiddush. Yishmer Shabbos Tilchasa quotes that, let's say a person has to drink water to take a pill. Most pills are not allowed to take on Shabbos, you know. Sometimes if a person has the status of a chayla, so he's allowed to take certain medications on Shabbos, you know, but he needs water. Shmir Shabbos writes, that's not considered to be drinking before Kiddush, because since we don't make a bracha on that water anyway, so the Mishnah says in brachas, you only make a bracha, shahakol and water, and it shows the man with simo when you're thirsty. So when a person drinks water just to swallow a pill, there's no bracha, that's not really considered to be drinking, and therefore that would be okay before Kiddush. So putting that aside, to drink other water, to drink, either drink anything else, would be also Kiddush Friday night. The Ram says, who didn't have a Shabbos morning? The Rav disagrees with him. No. That the Yisra only applies to Friday night, Shabbos morning, the Kiddush is so kal anyway, so one would be permitted to eat or drink before that Kiddush. Again, we generally don't follow that view either. Those two distinctions that we probably follow neither of them have combined together to create the following phenomena. There's, it's hard to use the word minig, but there's an age-old practice that a lot of women on Shabbos morning, the end of the morning, so they eat breakfast before the husbands come home from shul, before they make Kiddush. So some women have to make Kiddush themselves, but many women don't. How do we justify that? What right do you have to eat? So then the person hasn't davened yet. So Shulchan Aruch writes that the chiyuv of Kiddush in the morning only kicks in after you finish davening. You finish davening shachris, because not like before davening. So the chiyuv of Kiddush only begins in after davening. So the Shulchan Aruch writes that if a person wants to, quote unquote, eat before Kiddush, or drink before Kiddush, before davening, that's okay. The only problem is you can't do that because you can't eat before davening. So my hamil and mikula. So the Shulchan Aruch writes that the kula helps for water because the Shulchan Aruch's opinion of this tefillah is that you're allowed to drink water before davening. So remember Tuesday morning in davening, you're allowed to drink water. Not everyone even agrees to that. But the Shulchan Aruch passes you're allowed to drink water before davening. And Mishnah Berurah discusses possibly taking tea and coffee. You have different opinions as to what you are and not allowed to drink. Certain very, very limited things you may be permitted to drink on a regular day before davening. So whatever you're allowed to drink before davening, you're allowed to drink before davening the Shabbos morning also, because that's not called drinking before Kiddush. Because since you haven't davened yet, so you're not as chayv in Kiddush. That's chayv in Kiddush. So the real year, so drinking doesn't kick in yet. So you have this strange thing that you can drink something before davening on Shabbos morning, but the minute that you finish davening, then you can't drink. Because once you finish davening Shabbos, then you're chayv in Kiddush. Once you're chayv in Kiddush, then there's a goma to eat or drink. So the problem is that a lot of women, they're not interested in waiting till the husbands come home for 12 o'clock to make Kiddush. So they want to eat something, whatever, munch on something beforehand. So many women go ahead and do that. The question is, how can we justify that? Isn't there a gomor to eat or drink before Kiddush? So some poskim want to be malam mitzchos based on a few different factors together. Number one, we're not 100% sure that women are chayavos to Kiddush in the daytime altogether. And we're not sure that there's a real issur to eat before Kiddush and Shabbos morning anyway. And then there's another tzavah hakol to Moshe's famous kula. Moshe writes, especially for a married woman. So Moshe writes that a married woman only becomes chayavas in Kiddush when he gives mansuda. The same way the Pesukim write that you don't, you're not chayav in Kiddush until the mansuda comes. The mansuda can't begin until after davening. So the Moshe writes that for a married woman, this mansuda hasn't arrived yet because she's not allowed to sit down without a husband. She's supposed to eat the Shabbos with her husband. So since she's not really supposed to be eating now, so for her, it's not yet he gives mansuda. The same way for the man before davening, it's not a giyas mansuda. For the woman, the married woman, before her husband comes home from shul, it's like giyas mansuda, and therefore she's not chayavs in Kiddush. And therefore the yisra doesn't apply. So it's these three factors that a lot of women, especially married women, are pretty make a lot. not the greatest, not the cool, you know, or Muslim. But the best thing is to take a cup of grape juice in the kitchen and have a bowl of syrup, a piece of cake or something. If she doesn't want to do that, so then there are grounds to be made.
The essay of drinking start after Shachas or after Masaf?
After Shachas, because if technically you're allowed to eat before Masaf. That's not that whole Suda before Masaf, but you're allowed to have a Chivas Aroi before Masaf. That's why a lot of shuls, the yeshivas, when they eat before Keshech and Rosh Hashanah, so they have Achilas Aroi. The Paschim write that Achilas Aroi means blessed Kveitza. So if you have a blessed Kveitza cake, so that would be okay. I remember when I was in Kemi Avna, so on Rosh Hashanah, and they still have Kiddush there.
Yeah.
Did they measure the cake? I remember my dad used to mamash measure the cake. You're only entitled to one piece of cake. There's more because that's less than the kveitza. The mamash cut it to piece, so it shouldn't be a chashash of eating before davening musaf. And the other post can say that the isra of achilas aroi before musaf is like the isra before davening myrin. It's like the isra of you're afraid you're going to forget. You're not going to. Who's going to forget the davos? 300 guys together. They're going to forget the davos. Forget the kol shofar. They're going to eat the extra 3 pieces of cake. Everyone's going to forget. The cake isn't so good. Mustafa don't remember the Moshe Alper and Rosh Hashanah. So that's a question. That's a shaila, whether there's an outright isser to eat before Musaf, Achilas Keva, is a pure quantitative amount, or it's more of a, you know, more of a of an idea you get afraid you're going to forget. This is the shaila Simchus Torah. A lot of shuls make Kiddush. You have to people get their aliyahs and they go outside there and Kiddush, and they haven't done a Musaf yet. So some don't like that practice. The reason why many shuls have that practice is the kafas they're waiting until 2 o'clock the afternoon, so they want to give people a chance to eat a little bit before chatzos, a little bit of kippah, a little kachos. So some will argue that's not right. You should only have a very small piece of cake for musaf, and others say no, that you're not going to forget that that musaf. And if one guy in his own house sits down and has lunch, then he may forget that musaf. Something's not going to happen over here. I remember this past Rosh Hashanah, so when we were first trying to figure out what the scheduling, what the complicated and nuances of scheduling in Yonah, and COVID, Ma'isalach, so there was a possibility that was being tossed around by some shuls of having multiple shifts for davening, of having like a Vasikim minyan to come, and they would daven from 9 till, they daven from 6 in the morning till 10:30. And then the next shach was at 10:30, they go from 10:30 to 2:30. And one of the problems was that if you're going to time it that way, so then the set groups going to miss Van Krishna, Van Tfila, miss everything. So there was an idea that was being tossed around was that we should stagger the minyan. We should have one group should come and daven shachris from 6 to 8:30, just shachris. And then they should go home. And then the next group should come to daven shachris. And they should come home. Then the first group should come back to daven musaf. And they should go home. Then the next group should come back to daven musaf. They should come home. So you never have a full, more than 25% people in the shul at the same time. So part of the chayv was that you have some chaver to be davening musaf. Starting musaf at 4 o'clock in the afternoon for Rosh Hashanah. So the question was, are you allowed to eat? That a mamash eating lunch. So I thought at the time, maybe we could even justify the mamash eating lunch first. Because if you set up a big sign on your door that says don't forget to go back for shul to daven musaf at kishar, so if you hold like those poskim that say the issur of eating before musaf is not a issur chaklay avos, it's just an issur you're going to forget the daven. So between you and me, how many people here eat supper sometimes before my nobody? Okay, so the Torah says it was on your phone. I always have a thing on my phone that goes off. It's set every night to go off to remind me to daven my. So the Ikra din, many of them come out. But the Ikra din, many of them come out. Hold on, the Isra, we need before Muslim is Ka'in that Isra. You put enough, maskir morale, that should be good enough. It's like everyone gets all to hit, they don't want to eat before they bench Chankalach. Isra before eating for Chankalach is not more chomer than eating before Meir, but any other night. Krish was there, I said. And there's Chankalach, only the Rabbanah. But Chankalach, everyone gets all nervous about it. So remember, when we got married on the third night of Chankalach, so I was a little concerned that we weren't going to be able to light our neighbors until much later that night. And a lot of it was a regular Tuesday night. A lot of people coming from work who weren't going to light their neighbors until 10 o'clock at night. So I was a little bit concerned that the Maksha people that would sit down and eat the miyob, eat the chas miyob, and then before they lit neighbors. So we built into the system a mosque here. So we had the band every hour or so. We would give an announcement if anyone's leaving. You know, please remember when you get home, first thing to do is to light the chas. So we had an official formal It was before everyone was walking around with cell phones beeping all over the place. So that was the old style of announcements. But, all right, back to the story. So we have a few possible differences between the Kiddush Deraisa of Friday night and the Kiddush Derabanan of the morning. Another possible difference would be how lenient we're going to be about making Kiddush and other beverages. So the general rule, we don't like making Kiddush on other things. Kiddush is supposed to be on wine. In the Chagas of Rishayim, if you don't have wine, can you make Kiddush on bread? Kiddush on challah. So we reserve that for Shas Adchah. He says in Chavetz Chaim, very often we make Kiddush on challah because he couldn't afford wine. But no one had wine in Rambam. But for most of us, Baruch Hashem, we have wine and grape juice. We're able to make Kiddush normally. But if a guy's not Mishmar stuck, then he can make Kiddush on challah. I remember the only time I remember making Kiddush on challah, I never told over the story once, that I was in at an event on a Friday night, and there were 500 people there, and the person who made Kiddush for the whole team, you couldn't hear a thing. I couldn't hear anything. So I wasn't really interested in this Kiddush. So I felt very bad because I didn't want to make a whole to-do. If it was one public Kiddush for everybody, I don't want people to think, I think that probably doesn't want to make the bracha. So it was very embarrassing to go to the kitchen, yes, or grape juice, and make my own Kiddush. So it was years ago before I was married. So what I did was I made Kiddush in the challah. I sat down, had my own two challah rolls at the table. So nobody saw what I was doing. I put my hand over my mouth. So the line deeper then you could be at say Kiddush on Friday night on challah stuff. What if you don't have a wine and you want to make a chama medina? So we're very nervous about making a chama medina. Shabbos morning, maybe there's a little bit more ground to be making chama medina. It's also not 100% clear what chama medina is. It's the beverage of that location, not regular wine. Not exactly clear what included is and what's not included. So there's a minig in many communities, especially Chassidish communities, that they make Kiddush on schnapps on Shabbos morning. Nobody does it Friday night, but Shabbos morning. So many communities, many people have a minig of making Kiddush on schnapps. So a lot of the Snabdish and Gedolim are very against this on multiple grounds. First of all, Chachil, you're probably supposed to make on wine. So the others respond, but schnapps is more chavir to you. You really, really want schnapps. Okay. So the Snagdish Gedolim also were against this custom. They said that, but you don't have a revius, and you're not drinking by lubav. You're just taking a little bit of a schnapps. You're not drinking that much. So some Achamarim came up with this idea. The Taz already started this and said that you don't really have to drink by lubav or schnapps, because the whole idea of drinking by lubav is it should be a sachashiva. It should be something. So a little drop of schnapps is the equivalent of a little bit of wine. So wine is not such a chash of a drink. So you have to beef it up a little bit. Schnapps is a little bit more intoxicating, so then even the smaller amount would be okay. This is like when you go for your driving lessons. You have to remember what the blood content is of 1 ounce of liquor to 4 ounces of wine, I think to 8 ounces of beer or something like that, some kind of a ratio. So that's what the Taz is saying, that what you require in wine, you can get away with less of it in terms of schnapps. So other Pesukim turned around and said that's good in terms of the amount that you're drinking, but you have to have a kesher revius. If it's not a revius, it's nishya kesher bracha. So some Pesukim wanted to justify that also and say no, that doesn't really have to be a revius either. A little schnapps class, that's why you got a lot of Hasidic Kiddushes. So this is Kiddush in the daytime. Okay, knocks off an ounce of schnapps. So that's a big problem, according to a lot of poskim. First of all, it's schnapps and not wine. The chachil is supposed to be wine. Number two, it's not a rebate. Number three, you're not drinking mozum. So a lot of problems with that. So it's not the best way to do those who have it. If your grandfather makes Kiddush on, you guys probably a great grandfather. People from Europe. The old generation used to make Kiddush on schnapps and Shabbos morning. So some hold minig of a sign to be a day, meaning still make on schnapps. Those who don't have such a za, minig, kabua, and chik vayavar, so the more correct thing is to make Kiddush on water
grapes. According to the Taz, we also make
a bracha achrona, or we only make bracha achrona revius anyways. You know, malum is not enough. Okay, there's another requirement of Kiddush, another din that permeates Kiddush, both Kiddush by night and Kiddush by day, and that's the din of Kiddush Machum Suda. It's actually the Chalukah of Maran, the beginning of Rabbi Pesachim, whether you could just make a freestanding Kiddush, or whether you have to have Kiddush in the context of the Suda. So we pass it like Shmuel, it's one of the strange times that we pass like Shmuel, even though it's this of a head there, all the other Lena Maran started with Shmuel, the ain't Kiddush of Machum Suda. Where did this idea come from in Kiddush Machum Suda? So the Rashbam and Rabbi Pesachim quotes two reasons for this halacha. One is the Rashbam says because since they were kaveh kish al yayin, so they were kaveh on yayin chashuv. The whole goal of upping the ante, beefing it up and making it on yayin is to give it more chashivas. When is wine chashuv? You make a toast, you sit down, a meal, you sit down, have a cup of wine, and part of a cup of meal, that's chashivas. So the guy's on the run, takes a cup of wine and runs out the door, so that's minimum, the zuzul. So the whole goal of the kish al yayin is being defeated. That's one reason the Rashbam says. The other reason the Rashbam says is, based on the pasuk of the Navi Shiyah, the Karas L'Shabbos Oynei, Ulam Kriya Shabtei Oynei. That the Navi is comparing, connecting Kriya, which is the Kiddush, and the Oynei, which is the Suda, so you require En Kiddush Al Mokum Suda. And those are the two official reasons that appear in the Rashba. Let's say a person makes Kiddush Al Mokum Suda. Is that anything? Is that any worth whatsoever? That's the machlokes that Rabbi Yehuda in the Rosh at the end of Masechet Pesachim. So the Gemara tells us that the Yidden have a practice in the days of Chazal to make kiddush and shul. That's the Meir. They make kiddush and shul for the night. So the Gemara says, why? If you hold kiddush makom suda, why are they making kiddush and shul for? Not makom suda. The Gemara says, no, they used to be guests who would eat in shul. So the Chazal would get up at the end of Meir and make kiddush to the night to the end of the day. Everyone would go home and the guests would sing shalom. They would sit down and have their meal. Al smach the kiddush that they heard at the end of the day. That would be kiddush makom suda. So the Rosh and Rabbi Pesachim raised the question, it's man hazeh, that we don't have guests anymore eating in shul. We don't have guests to our house in shul. So what are we making kiddush for in shul anymore? So the Rosh says, maybe you should stop. The Rosh called some saying, maybe you should stop. So Baruch HaBatala. So different Rishonim try to defend the practice. There are many shuls, even not the Yemezeh, there are many shuls that still make kiddush in shul, even though nobody's eating there anymore. So some Rishonim say it was a takana. Even though everyone knows how to daven today, the original takana was made for the Einam B'Kiyam, so we keep it up today. So some Rishonim said it was a formal takana to make Kiddush in Shul. Another Rishonim said, oh, yeah, there was such a takana. The Gemara Pesachim doesn't record the takana. The Gemara Pesachim is recording with the practice the Minhag HaOlam was. So there's no one in Shul, so what's the justification to recite Kiddush? The Rosh quotes from Rabbeinu Yaina that there are a lot of people who would come to shul, they didn't know how to make kiddush when they got home. They didn't know how to talk, even they didn't know how to read. So they wouldn't make kiddush when they got home. So the Rabbeinu Yehuda writes, the least of the yetzi something, so give them some mashu kiddush. Ah, it's not going to be a kiddush b'chum suda. Okay, it's better than nothing. So, and that better than nothing is enough to justify us reciting a bracha. Not a bracha at all. So if you have no choice, and you won't be able to have a suda, so at least you gain something. The kiddush b'chum suda is not meaningless. And the Rosh disagrees with Rabbeinu Yehuda. The Rosh writes that no, he thinks that the kiddush shalom makom suda is mamash meaningless. Mamash bracha v'atal. You don't want to make kiddush. So, invite them to your house to make kiddush. Give them food in the shul. You can't make kiddush and send them home with nothing because it's mamash bracha v'atal. So it's machlokes between the Yehuda and the Rosh. Is the kiddush shalom makom suda mamash gornish, mamash bracha v'atal legamri, or there is some significance, there's some deeper meaning to it in some shape or form. But my there are different minhagim in Klal Yisrael today about making kiddush in shul. So the minhag in Eretz Yisrael, from our folks, the minhag when he was in Eretz Yisrael, nobody makes kiddush anymore in shul. In Eretz Yisrael, you won't see kiddush in shul. In America, you see HVA. Some shuls do it, some shuls don't do it. I remember Rabbi Willig, he told us that when he came to the Yisrael Rivendell, most people think Rabbi Willig was the founding rabbi of the Yisrael Rivendell. Not true. I grew up in Rivendell. I remember the rabbi before Rabbi Willig. It was about 50 years ago. So when Rabbi Willig came, he was one of early years of the shul, but he was not Mamash Mamash, the first rabbi. So some of the minhagim had already been started. So when he came, so one of the minhagim was that they followed the primarily Yekesha minhag today that they still make Kiddush in shul. So Adi Yemazen, that's my name, and when he from Riverdale.
Yeah. Over the summer,
then
because of Corona.
All right, okay. All the shuls stop. We don't make a dollar shul either, but in shul they normally do, right?
Normally
does,
yeah.
Yeah, normally they're right. So this has been going off over 50 years. So when we started our shul in Bergenfield, so I remember it was like a funny feeling because we had to be kavam and hugging. I said, it's a strange thing, you start a shul. Most shuls don't start from scratch today. Most shuls are breakaways, are split offs. Not too many shuls, but I'm start literally Yesh Behind. So we started the shul Yesh Behind. So I remember he asked me, we have a whole bunch of different things. We have to be Kavan and Hagen. So I remember he said to me, he was jealous of me. He said, I was never Kavan and Hagen. So it was a rough 50 years. Said I was not kaveh minhagim. The minhagim when I came, I kept. I mix a few tikkunim here and there, but the basic tzura of the minhagim that's in the domain of the first rabbi. So I said, so we a little bit of a pacha. So one of the Hagim that we decided was we're not going to make Kiddushin. We're not going to make Kiddushin shuls. Most of the shuls, probably most shuls in America don't even do it anymore. Many shuls don't do it anymore. And there's so nobody does it anymore. Yeshivas de Zichah don't do it. So we didn't adopt anything. I remember when I was learning Kambi Yavne. So usually Kambi Yavne is Ma'amidan a few days before Tisha B'Av. So there was one year that the Rebbetzin over his life had a surgery. Usually Rashi would leave like towards the middle to the end of the summer, so the end of his month, he would usually go to America with his money on the dinner, and then he would usually go to Switzerland for a little bit because he had a serious heart condition. It was very, very hot, you know, in July and coming out there. The doctors liked him to be a little bit of a cooler climate, so that was when he would go a little bit on vacation. The Americans used to go home anyway, and the after Israelis were in the army already, so she was just kind of winding down at the end of Tammuz, or she would usually leave at that point. But there was one summer where Rebbetzin needed surgery, so he wasn't able to leave. So he was in the yeshiva, and the yeshiva was supposed to end. Hey, well, I remember what's coming today, 2 days before Tisha B'Av. So Rashiva asked the Bachim, maybe 30 of us left at that point. So he asked us, he said, would everyone stay till the Tisha B'Av? Where are you going anyways? Where are you going? Let's have a Tisha B'Av for the yeshiva. He said, you never had? What do you guys carry on, man? You never had a formal Tisha B'Av for the yeshiva? He said, okay, stay. No. So we all stayed. So I remember, so we davened Meir that night in the Beis Medrash. We davened Meir, and then it came time for Eicha. And there were different Hagim about, you know, some say Kashi's Kabbal before, you have to different, whatever different Hagim that play out on Tisha B'Av night. Totally didn't get Mokum. And I remember Rashida turned to us, and remember, we were a bunch of kids, we were 19, 20 year old, bunch of, we were mostly Americans at the time, we left a handful of Americans at the time, Peckham Israelis. And Rashida turned to us, and he says, there's Ma Mini Poi. The Tisha B'Av, the Lev Tisha B'Av, for me, Kashi's Kabbal, he says, it's a Ma Mini. He said, apparently, no. He was never here for Tisha B'Av. We looked at him. We sure weren't there for Tisha B'Av. They had a lot of effort. So she was stuck. Remember, I was born with Rashiva. But Rashiva, I remember, he was like standing there, like, he was doing himself. I remember, like, yesterday, this goes back, 35 years ago. I was like, yesterday, he's standing there. There's a bunch of Americans standing around him, standing by the bima. And he says, Ein Minug. Shrichim the Kvaya Minag. So the Lev Tishba says, and after claiming this a minag shall she become Yav Nachshav. We weren't sure what we were supposed to do. Like, what do you do? Kvaya Minag. I said, I remember this one. Shrichim the Kvaya Minag. The Kvaya the Minag. We were Kvaya the Minag. I forgot what the Minag was, but whatever it was, we were anyway, so bottom line is some shul do say Kiddush Friday night, some shul don't say Kiddush and much do whatever. Not a minute, guess he has a minute, whatever. Yeah, okay. Chabalat Avdin. Great, he's a great Tanukh Mashiva, Manik. Chabalat Avdin, okay, good. Thank you.